WBH Radio, your host William Holly, episode number 50. We got a big time guest on the line. This gentleman has been covering the Golden State Warriors out in the Bay Area. He's currently writing for The Athletic. He's also a published author. I got both of his works with me right here. One is Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, and KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. The one and only Marcus Thompson II. How you doing, sir?
Oh man, I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate the book love too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no,
It's always good to get the book shout out.
Oh, for sure, man. I read the KD joint. I didn't get to Steph Curry yet, man. But let's get right into this. The last couple of years, the Golden State Warriors have taken the world by storm. You know, exciting brand of basketball, multiple championships. But this squad is a bit different. You know, KD has moved on. Klay Thompson is out battling injuries. How would you describe the 2020-21 Golden State Warriors?
Mediocre. Middle of the pack. Right. Average. You know, they're 20-20 as we speak. Mm-hmm. And they've been like at 500 maybe 10 times.
Right.
So, you know, they had a 4-game losing streak, which was their longest. The longest winning streak was 3 games. I mean, this is the ultimate middle of the pack team, the ultimate up and down, right? Like they.
Right. And this is middle of the pack.
They can't get right.
This is middle of the pack after Steph Curry is kind of putting together his own MVP performance, right?
This is kind of an MVP performance, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, they probably shouldn't be middle of the pack.
No, not
you know,
right.
Once Klay Thompson went down, like that made it all bad. But you know, Steph has been incredible, and they're just so young. They've got a collection of players who are, for their career, either inconsistent or super young, right around them. So even Draymond has gotten to be inconsistent on offense. So it's tough for them to find the traction they need because they don't have those dudes who bring you the same thing every night. Like every single night you can count on it. They don't have that. They have guys who some nights are really good. They have guys who some nights are not good. So they're going to have to make some moves if they want to maximize this Steph Curry window. So I'm expecting a decent offseason from the Warriors. You know, I'm expecting them to do something. They might do something this trade deadline.
Right.
Just because they need to, they just kind of, you end up stuck in neutral in that way. And they're ninth in the West, but man, that 5-6 seed is 3 games away. So you make a run, you might be able to do some things. They ain't winning a championship, but right. you give it a good hearty effort.
And that's interesting. You talk about the trade deadline because I want to ask you kind of like, how does the organization view this team? Because you got Steph Curry, you got Draymond, you got Steve Kerr. So on some nights, I wonder, do they feel they're just a piece away or is this a complete rebuild?
So what's between a piece away and a complete rebuild? Like that's...
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be a complete rebuild, right, when you got Steph, Klay, and Draymond.
No way.
But they also see it as a development year, mm-hmm. right? It's like, let's see how good Wiseman can become. You know, let's see what you got with your young players. You know they've got to make some moves, though. They know they simply have to. They have to do something. They're banking on a couple picks in a really good draft, and maybe they use two of those picks and move up and get one of these monsters in the draft.
Right.
But they're in transition, right? That's probably the best way to put it. They're not like completely rebuilding because they got 140 million tied up into like 4 players.
Yes.
But they definitely are in the process of recrafting the roster. Like this ain't the Warriors team.
This ain't it.
This ain't the Warriors team Steph gonna allow mm-hmm. like next year or 2 years, right? He's like, yeah, nah, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to win rings.
For sure. And I wanna ask you about that. Steve Kerr, Draymond, Steph Curry, they're used to playing championship basketball. And as you mentioned, this team is probably not going to reach that level. So how has their approach, their messaging, been different this year? Like, what do they consider success?
Well, for Steph, and even Draymond a little bit, you know, Steph been through the struggle. You know, before they were champions, he was on the team that was scrubs. You know, Steph was drafted after the team fell apart from the We Believe in 07.
Right.
You know, the Warriors, you know, they had a little window where they won a playoff series. They upset Dallas. And then everything went downhill from there. So he got drafted on the downside of that. And his first, 3 years of his career, he had the ankle stuff. They yes. weren't good. So Steph been in NBA poverty before, right? So he's experienced this. And Draymond was drafted right when they started on the upcline, right? He was 2012. So they were, you know, they were a winning team, 47, 60. They were that, you know. So Draymond don't know poverty, but he definitely know. He a little middle class.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I do think they're trying to shift their perspective into, like, those molds, right? Like, let's get out of that five-year window where it was finals every time.
Yes.
And get into the – we got a grind mode. They're the oldest people on the team, right? They're the OGs.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? They're the guys that everybody's looking up to. They're the guys everybody's listening to. Yeah. Steph was telling me how he tells them stories of, you know, the old days of, like, when he was playing with Don Nelson or when they were playing the Spurs in the playoffs in 2013.
Right.
And it dawns on him that they have no idea who these people are, right?
Wow.
Like, he's talking to a 20-year-old who's like, yo, who's Don Nelson?
I'm talking to the babies.
So, yeah, they've gone into OG teacher mode. That's kind of the mindset that they're in, like bringing along the youth.
Steph Curry, the babyface assassin, is now the OG, man. That's funny. And Marcus, I want to talk right? about this book, Golden. I have not been able to dive into it yet. But with Steph's story, I think sometimes the public feels like they may know it. He's the offspring of an NBA player. He grew up in NBA locker rooms. He went to a mid-major at Davidson, took the world by storm. Came to the league, bounced back from some ankle injuries, and the rest was history. Someone like you who's done the research, who has covered him day in and day out for years, what's something about Steph and his journey or his abilities that the public at large may not be aware of?
Probably that the dude is a dog, you know,
yeah.
Like he's... I mean, you know, you see a guy like Westbrook and you could kind of see it in him, right?
Right.
Like, you know, that dude is a, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? He's
yeah.
a dog.
He's going after it,
right? You watch Bron and you like, you see this dude just, you know, 59 years old. He's going to be banging on dudes at the park, right? Like,
right.
You just don't expect Steph to have that. Mm-hmm. You know, like as one NBA player told me, like he's more of a savage than a lot of these dudes, you
sure.
know? I mean, Steph is really the light-skinned little dude from with money who went to the hood and played ball.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like that dude, he is kind of nuts when you think about it. Like, I mean, he was so little.
Yes.
So little. Like, his jersey wouldn't even stay on. All he had was a jumper and heart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he turned that into something. Like, he ain't never been scared a day in his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't never, like, not fought back.
Right.
I think people don't realize that Steph is a savage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and they see, you see him shimmying and dancing, right? And you know, he's got the wife and the kids. He's a dad guy. Like, people don't understand. This dude is, like, relentless. And he got here on straight heart. Like, he built himself. He like his daddy wasn't even as good, right? So,
Marcus,
like Clay too,
right? What do you where do you think that comes from? Like I said, he offspring of an NBA player. You would think there was some privilege there, but as you mentioned, that boy got the dog in him.
That's you know what I do think. There's another that we're watching. They are kind of like the beginning of this era where, as you know, man, the NBA. Created this kind of new layer of family in the Black community, right? Where
yes.
we started getting wealthy Black people, not just in the NBA, but we know the NBA ones, right?
Yes.
You know, starting in the 80s and 90s, these, you know, these black people started getting rich off basketball, right? Yes. Which wasn't happening before, mm-hmm. to be frank. Like Dr. J might have got rich in the 70s, like, but it wasn't that many people. But now we're seeing the children of those people, and their kids had a different life, right. You know, that they are far more skilled. They spend time growing up in gyms. They had access to camps. They got a parent teaching them, right? So you're starting to get a lot of these guys, right? You're starting to get a lot of the Steph Currys and Klay Thompsons who are the son of, you know what I'm right. saying? You see it in football too. Probably the number one cornerback in the draft is Patrick Surtain, whose dad played, right?
Yes.
So the opportunity, they've got it. So they've been able to develop the skill. But man, like, we do forget, like, they still, their parents are still cut from that cloth.
Yeah.
You know right. what I'm saying? Like, they're like, I mean, you know, what you telling your kids? You ain't telling them to be soft.
Not at all.
You like, hey, I know you got it good, but let me, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. so they had that same stuff. They had like Klay Thompson, same way, right? Klay Thompson is one of the most relentless dudes. He will play you 100 times.
Yes.
Right. Like he don't care. He's going to ball and he won't stop. He will never stop coming for you. And like, look at his like, you know what I'm saying? But his daddy played with Magic
for sure.
and Kareem. Like, you think his dad was telling him, nah, we don't go out like that. Like, right. so I do think they kind of get the best of both worlds in many ways. They get the skill and development and means to like really work on their game. And it's not all like park hoop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not some bad coach at AAU, right? It's right. like, yo, I'm in NBA locker rooms, right? Right. Like Steph was playing shooting games with Mark Jackson in Toronto, right? You know what I'm saying? So they get the benefit of that. And they also got the benefit of parents. Like Steph's mom is a monster. You know, mm-hmm. she is a competitive fire, right? She played volleyball, she ran track, and she is not playing games with you, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you kind of get the best of both worlds, actually, in many ways, right? Devin Booker, his dad played. Like Devin Booker he would drop 70 in the NBA game.
7-0.
Like you know what I'm saying? So they kind of get the best of both worlds. You let Tim Hardaway Jr.'s son get hot. He will light you up.
Yes.
So some of these dudes, they still got a little bit of their parents in them too.
For sure. Best of both worlds. You're definitely right. Now, one thing I know the whole world doesn't know is the fact that Steph Curry's first name is actually Wardell. And the other day, you called him Wardell during a press conference, and Steph gave a great reaction. He looked up like, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I implore everybody to go check it out online. What was the motivation for calling him Wardell that day?
Man, because we doing Zoom interviews, and it's 50 million people on the Zoom, like all across the nation. Yes. And I need them to know that, like, yo, this is Marcus Thompson asking you the question.
Right.
Like, let me snap you out of the little rote answers you give it, right? Because I talk to them different than everybody else. So, yes. you know, with Steph, I sometimes call him Wardell. You know, you got the homie who go by a nickname or middle name, and you call him by his actual name sometimes,
yes.
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things. So sometimes I'm like, what's up, Wardell? You know, or and he does it too, right? Like, on his Instagram, he's Wardell Curry, right? So anybody who didn't know his name was Wardell, I'm calling trash on their basketball knowledge. Like, this dude is superstar, you know what I'm saying? Don't tell me you didn't know LeBron James. Like, oh, I thought his name was King.
Got you. That's great, though. You want to snap him out and let him know, hey, yo, this the home team, man. Make sure you answer this
Zoom
one.
Life is out of pocket, bro. This Zoom interview situation, I'm used to walking into locker rooms looking a dude in the face, you know what I'm saying, having a conversation. So it's just it's hard on Zoom. It's different, it's man. They're talking to a screen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just you can't have that vibe. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
It's different. Marcus, I wanted to know if you could help me out with a player comparison. I wanted to talk about Steph Curry versus Kyrie Irving. Now, first, let me say this. I believe Kyrie Irving can do everything that Steph Curry can do. I believe Kyrie could give you 6 or 7 threes. I believe he could come off the screen. He could do it off the dribble, left and right. But on the flip side, I don't think Curry can do the same as Kyrie. I think Kyrie's a better ball handler. I think he's a better decision maker. I think he does a better job of getting in the paint and finishing, kind of like dictating to the defense what he wants to do. So for that reason, if it's one game, if it's coming out of a timeout, one possession, I would go with Kyrie. So Marcus Thompson, if you could help me understand the difference between Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving.
Well, I'm gonna go with one thing. There's definitely one thing. There's two things I'm gonna say Kyrie can't do that Steph can do. One of them is actually try on defense. Kyrie does not play defense.
Gotcha.
Period. So if Kyrie tried on defense, if he gave it all he had, then I'd go with you. But his effort on defense, it will never be okay with me. I love Kyrie. That dude is unbelievable. His effort on defense will never be okay with me. Like, he let Colin Sexton drop 40 on his head and he didn't even do anything different, right? Like, so that's number one. Like, that dude's got a guard, and I know he can, because when he matches up against Steph, he kind of locks in.
He does.
So you see him lock in. You see him, like, game one of the finals, he was locked in 2015 before he got hurt. He was locked in, so you know he could do it. So that's one. Two things he can't seem to do is lead a team. And a lot of the stuff we talk about with when we comparing players is on the court, but we got to start talking about what's happening off the court. Yeah. We got to start talking about what's happening in the locker rooms.
Yes.
And how much points we give it for that. Like, true. Is it extra credit, or do we count it part of the job as a point guard to lead the team? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And all we know so far is players have been lining up to come play with Steph. Right. Right? Like, so there's something about how this dude leads a team where people want to play for him. And we've seen Kyrie, it's the opposite, right? Yes. We've seen Kyrie have a problem. You show me one time Steph had a problem with his teammates.
Right.
One time where anybody who's ever played with him say anything bad about him. You show me anybody saying about Kyrie what LeBron just said after the All-Star game, right? You just ain't. Like, so that's part of it. Kyrie, I think.
What did LeBron say? Sorry.
Oh, so LeBron came out after the All-Star game and was like, it was an honor to play with Steph. It was the first time ever he changed the game by himself. You know, he just like this, just raving about Steph, mm-hmm. In the comment. And it's LeBron, right? So right. It's not nothing. Mm-hmm. It's a dude who went against him for 4 years. So for me, like, when you start talking about these guys, like, there's nobody more talented than Kyrie, yo. Mm-hmm. Period, point blank. Like, that dude is a monster. I think that's actually his problem. Yeah. I think he's too good that he feels like that, y'all, I kind of don't even need to do this other stuff, right? I'm so good at this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a better ball handler. He's a better finisher around the rim. He's not as efficient of a shooter, but the way he's shooting this year, it kind of, he's definitely on that label. He's definitely on that level, right? He's his shooting this year is nuts, right? This is like the second time in this year his true shooting has been over 60%. Like 60, you can't be in Steph's realm if you ain't 60% true shooting, right? So, but he's been far more consistent this year. But yeah, I mean, I do think Kyrie is a Hall of Fame point guard. I think it comes down to a matter of preference. Mm-hmm. So when I'm building a team, like you say, if you're picking a player,
yes,
game on the line, I definitely see why you take Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Especially if you need a bucket. Like, I definitely see why you take Kyrie.
Yes.
You building a team, you building a franchise, mm-hmm. I'm taking Steph 100 times out of 100. Because you know you ain't gonna have no drama. You know he gonna give you everything he got. You know he's gonna be good to his teammates. And you're going to get these buckets.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to have to get triple teamed. And you could put two dudes on the court with him who kind of trash just because they're going to be open because he get triple teamed, right?
Right.
And all of this stuff, it matters. We act like it don't matter, but it literally matters. Mm-hmm. That dude won a championship with Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee as his center.
Yeah.
Like, these dudes can't play, mm-hmm. right? They can't play. They right. wouldn't be able to be on the court. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't even name the Warriors centers.
Yeah.
Like, but Andrew Bogut got hurt, and that was it, right? Mm-hmm. That's how they lost the finals. They had one good center and all this time. But you can put dudes who are not that good next to Steph because he's going to draw the attention of the, it's just going to happen. It's going to happen. And I, another thing that works against Kyrie, I think people know, like, Kyrie getting 30 no matter what. So why double?
Right. Right.
He's just going to split the double team, right? He's just going to get around it. So that dude, you know who Kyrie reminds me of?
Who's
Kyrie
that?
Reminds me of Tracy McGrady,
T-Mac. Right?
Or Baron Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these dudes are just so good that I don't even think they know how good they are.
Right.
Like, or maybe that's the problem. They know that they're good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
But there comes a point in a player's career, and you know this, right? Where your talent and your understanding kind of align, right? That's yes. your prime, right?
Yes.
I do feel like Kyrie might be hitting that. Or, I feel like he's starting to understand more, but he still got the game to match. Normally, you watched when you understand the game, but your body don't match.
Your skills
right?
are gone, yeah.
It feels like he's hitting this little stage where it's starting to line up. Like, this year, he's like, hey, James Harden, you run point.
Yes.
See, again, where it's like Kyrie's like, James Harden is a better point guard than Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
Period. You see what I'm saying? Like, so those type of things that James Harden is bringing – you simply need, if you want to win a championship, you have to have it. You can't not go without it. Yeah, you can get a bucket. You know what I'm saying? You can drop 30. You can shoot well. You can handle well. Yes. But there are some other things you need to win a championship.
Yes.
Right? You got to have a great locker room. Mm-hmm. You got to have cohesion. You got to have five dudes actually playing defense.
Yes.
You got to be thinking about how to get other players going. You got to lead. James Harden is like, Kyrie, I got this. You go be an assassin. I think this is what held Russell Westbrook back. Russell Westbrook ain't doing all this stuff either. But this dude is an assassin. Like, yes. He thinks like an assassin. I'm about to dog you.
Yes.
Right? You hear him telling Dame, like, I've been dogging you for years, right? Yeah. He gets off on destroying his opponent. But you need your point guard to lead the team. And while this era of point guards is about getting buckets and point guard score, like, that's only okay if you have somebody else who's doing that other stuff. But if you're the point guard, you get buckets and nobody else is doing that other stuff, then you got a problem because you have to have that stuff, man. You've been watching basketball all your life. You know what made Magic, what made Bird, what made Isaiah, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it gets down to it. You need a leader. So Kyrie is incredible, yo. Like, his shot making, he's efficient as he's ever been. He looks incredible. He got to do some other things, and we need to hold Kyrie accountable because he's too good.
For sure.
He's too good, for period. Sure. That dude is a monster.
For sure. For sure. Leadership does count. It definitely counts. Marcus, I want to ask you this. I was actually watching Draymond was on ESPN, and he was talking about the people that question Steph's legacy and how they're just crazy. You know what I'm saying? You know Draymond. But how fair is the criticism of Steph Curry and, I guess, his inability to do what he's done in the regular season in the playoffs? You know, he's won three championships, but he doesn't have a finals MVP. Sticking with Kyrie and Steph, Kyrie hit the biggest shot in Cleveland Cavaliers history. I'm not sure Steph has something of that caliber on his resume. You know, how fair is the criticism?
When did our basketball analysis get so lame?
Right.
When did it get so simple and ridiculous?
Yeah.
Like, now if I told you a guy for his playoff career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Average for his playoff career, right?
Yes.
Average 23.5 points, 45% from the field, 39% from three, 5 assists, 3.3 rebounds. Would you think he was good?
Of course he's good.
He's good, right?
Yes.
Guess whose numbers those were?
Whose numbers
were
those?
Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Those are Kyrie Irving's numbers in the playoffs.
Yes.
Now listen to Steph's. 26-5, 5.4 rebounds, 6.3 assists, 45% shooting, 40% from three. clearly better.
Yes.
Not even close.
Oh, Marcus, I got to push back.
More games.
I got to push back, Marcus. That's cool. But after we seen you give us a unanimous MVP season, it's a dip.
So I'm going to give you that. It's actually not a dip. So the year he had unanimous MVP, he averaged 30 points.
Right.
What did he average in the playoffs?
And forgive me, Marcus.
25.
Forgive me. He averaged 30 points in the regular season?
Yeah, he averaged 30. You talking about the unanimous MVP year? He averaged 30.
I'm not even talking statistics. I'm talking like impact. Same impact.
See, that's what I'm saying. Our basketball knowledge is getting worse.
Okay.
So, in what universe is the playoffs the same as the regular season? It's always been better defense. You're playing better teams. You're playing a 7-game series against better defense. And how come we never watch how people are being guarded? So you mean to tell me you feel better about Steph averaging or going for 30 against a double team than doing the right play and giving up the ball so he could be a better teammate? This is what I'm talking about. Like, this is what I'm talking about.
Well, let me answer.
You know
that.
What it takes? You know what it takes to say, I'm going to do this for my team. Steph Curry was the finals MVP of the 2014-15 finals. I don't care what y'all say.
That's the Iguodala one?
Andre Iguodala did not deserve that award. Mm-hmm. The only reason he was open, why? Why was he open? They flat out said, we're going to double Steph. Like, we did the LeBron the same way. Like, why are we getting not smarter with basketball? LeBron is one of the best niggas of all time. Mm-hmm. He's passing the ball because the guy's open. And we're saying somehow we're turning into like cavemen. Like, nah, you gotta take the shot. It was cool when Jordan passed the ball. Like, I don't understand why we're getting worse at the basketball dialogue. Like, look.
Oh, Marcus, I gotta push back.
There's only one person in the NBA who can say anything about Steph Curry from a basketball perspective, and it's LeBron. Okay. You might have an argument with Kyrie, but Kyrie just happened to be next to LeBron. So we giving Kyrie credit for playing with LeBron to beat Steph, but the only dude who's actually beat Steph is LeBron.
Okay.
The rest of them lose to Steph every time they play Steph. And in what universe do we, that give me another person in NBA history are we saying are not a savage, even though they keep winning? Like, Larry Bird kept winning. The only person who beat Larry Bird was who?
Magic.
Magic.
But Marcus, you're naming number one guys. Yes, Steph Curry was victorious, but KD was...
Who was the number one guy?
KD.
Are you serious?
Hey, that's why I got Marcus Thompson from the Bay Area.
Who was the number one guy in the Lakers?
Right now?
No, on the Lakers, on Magic's team. Showtime. Don't say Magic, because it was Kareem. It was Kareem. It wasn't Magic until the last title.
Okay.
I got a book about this. It wasn't Magic to the last title when Magic did the baby hook.
Yes.
Baby hook, that was the year that Magic was like, yo, we need to score more. Kareem is getting old. But before that, he was Tragic Johnson, remember?
Marcus, his very first year. What was it, game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is out. Magic jumps the tip at center.
Absolutely.
40 points plus.
Why was that so great, though? Why was that so great? Because Kareem got hurt, and they thought it was over. Kareem was the man.
See, but Magic got it done. Magic got it done.
Yeah, Magic, nobody's doubting Magic. Nobody's doubting Magic.
Steph couldn't rise and get it done when KD went out against the Raptors.
He didn't? You mean when KD and Klay went out?
Yeah, give it to me, Marcus.
So you're saying, I hear you. So you're saying that Steph doesn't have the moment that you wanted. All right, got it. Who else does? Let's list the people who do.
I'm saying Steph is a notch below.
No, you're right. Now let's list the people who do have the moment. Would you say Kevin Durant has the moment?
The moment of winning a championship?
The moment you're talking about. The Magic Johnson. We can't deny this dude. He's a monster moment. Let's go over the people who got this fantastical moment you're saying Steph doesn't have. Who's got it? Let's go.
I would give Kevin Durant the moment.
You give Kevin Durant the moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you that.
I'm going to give you that.
He made one shot. He made a big shot in the playoffs.
I'm not even talking about a shot, though. I'm not even
giving you.
I'm not even talking about a shot though.
What you talking about? Just, he ain't won without Steph next to him.
Okay, fair.
Okay, but we're gonna give you Kevin Durant. Give me another one.
I think we're having two different
you
discussions.
You can't do it.
I'm not
you
talking about one it. Moment. I'm talking about we're watching you but be one version.
I understand what you're saying. I understand whatever you're talking about. Whatever you're talking about, I want you to give me the people who lived up to it. Whatever. Pick the parameter. I want you to give me the people who've done what you're saying.
Okay. No. Okay. Okay. Mike, of course. Magic. KD. Dirk. Dirk was... He elevated that playoff when they beat the Miami Heat. D Wade, when he defeated the Mavericks before LeBron and them got there. I forget what year was that. D Wade and Shaq. I'm talking so about
you,
getting.
You saying Dirk won that finals?
I'm saying Dirk was the best version of himself right then. We seen him elevate. I'm telling you, Steph Curry.
Did you not watch the 2015 finals? Go back and watch Game 5, the 2015 Finals. Game 5 is the most important game in any series.
I'm not good with the dates. Who we talk about? Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah.
The very first one?
Yeah. What LeBron have?
I don't know, bro.
He had 40.
Okay.
What Steph have?
You tell me.
37. 17 in the fourth quarter.
Marcus, I'm going to be 100%.
I'm being 100% with you. I'm giving you the data, but you don't want
I'm
it
not
because Kyrie wasn't
I'm not
there.
Talking about numbers. I'm talking about just getting it done. The result is W or L.
You saying the dude that won 3 championships and not getting it done. Like, he got 3 titles, yo. Like,
I'm going to give it to you.
But those titles, so Kevin Durant gets all the credit for those titles and Steph gets none. I don't understand why the same
I'm
idea
not,
don't
I'm not
go.
Saying that. I'm
no,
saying
you're saying no. I'm going against your argument now. You're saying Kevin Durant gets credit for getting it done while he's on the team with Steph Curry. But Steph Curry doesn't get credit for getting it done because he's on the team with Kevin Durant. Do you see that? What you're saying, but do you see as somebody listening to that
for
how
sure.
that sounds?
For sure. That's why I asked. The question
They're
started
on the
with
same team.
How fair is the criticism? For sure. I got you. I asked how fair is the criticism?
Like I said, if you're I think all criticism is fair.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you got to have a better explanation.
For sure. But Marcus, my final point. Let me just say this. I'm saying we see one version in the regular season and the playoffs is
I just full out disagree with that.
Oh, fair.
I just 1,000%.
That's fair.
So you telling me you did not watch the series when they were down 3-1 against Oklahoma City?
Absolutely. When Klay Thompson went bonkers.
Klay Thompson went bonkers for one game. Did you watch the fourth quarter? Who went bonkers in the fourth quarter? Who went bonkers in game 5? Who went bonkers in game 6? Who went bonkers in game 7? Like, go look at – I mean, so that's what I'm saying. So,
but look at the privilege of that. Klay went bonkers for 3.
Not with that team. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka. Not with that. You don't get to say that against that team.
I give it to you.
That team was better than the Warriors.
I give it
that
to you.
That team was
oh, for
better
sure.
than the Warriors.
Without a doubt.
You don't get to say that against that team.
Without
that
a doubt.
That team was a trust fund team too.
For sure. Without a doubt. Don't disagree.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't want to see. If you don't want to see Steph's moments, then fine. That's cool. But it's not going to hold up logically. But I'm going to give you what you're saying. And all I'm saying is there's nobody else doing what you're saying. Except maybe LeBron. Mm-hmm. And he's got his moments where he didn't show up either.
Okay.
But there's no – even in LeBron's greatest moment, you gave the credit to Kyrie.
Oh, and
– you gave that to Kyrie's moment.
You can add Kawhi to that list also.
Yeah, Kawhi. No question, Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Who else is doing that? Who else is doing that? Who else we talking about here?
I got you, brother. I got you, man. That was great. Thank you. I want to ask you about this one. I read this book actually back in 2019. KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. I want to ask you one question. How would you compare the Kevin Durant who came to Golden State in 2016, was ridiculed, crushed by his peers, to the gentleman who left in 2019, a two-time champion, two-time game MVP? How would you compare the difference between both him as a man and a basketball player?
Oh, he's better. He's just better. he found a level, yo, that was he found a level that was just insane. Yeah. I do think Kevin Durant is a basketball junkie,
and it was almost like he wanted to go get his PhD. There was just something about how he wanted to play. Like, he learned how to play off the ball, and that was it. I mean, the dude gets you 25 without even trying.
Yeah.
And now he knows how to play off the ball. Now he knows how to play without the ball in his hands. So how do you guard him? Like, I think he started understanding the game better. Kevin Durant, I'm telling you, this dude breathes basketball. So that type of stuff, like, it's in him, right? Yeah. He wants to think basketball. He wants to talk basketball. So just that experience. Whereas, like, people knocked him. Another part of the basketball dialogue that keeps regressing onto some dumb stuff. Like, everybody and their mama wasn't going to the park trying to stack their team. But Kevin Durant, because he's a basketball head, wanted to play with better players.
Yes.
Not because it was easier, but because there's another level of basketball. There's another level. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, yo, you could play this one way where I can run pick and rolls. You know what I'm saying? And I can do the same thing and I can get my 30. We can see if it works. But man, how much better do you have to be when you're playing next to Hall of Famers? You know what I'm saying? That's the part, if people understood basketball, they would get. I've watched players come to the Warriors with four Hall of Famers, and they're good. They're good players. They had good careers. They can't play with those guys. You know how much pressure is on the shot when you're supposed to shoot it, and you got Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry on the court? You know how confident you got to be to hit that shot when it's like, wait a second, I got three of the greatest shooters of all time. Should I even be shooting? Right. I should be playing D. I should be getting the water, right? But Kevin Durant is thinking, if I play with better players, there's another level, right? There's a glass ceiling there that I could break through. Imagine me running point guard with these dudes, right?
Yes.
You probably played some point guard before. Can you play point with dudes who don't know how to play? You got the ball. You trying to tell people to. Now, what happens if everybody know what to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's what Kevin Durant was doing. I think he was trying to find a PhD in hoop. I think he wanted to. I think he watched some dudes play and was like, oh, there's levels to this, and I want to play at that level. Like, I want to. And he came and he dominated.
Sure,
right? Yeah. He came and he was like, yo, there was a moment where, and they lost to Cleveland. I think it was 2016, Christmas Day. They lost to Cleveland, and they just wasn't in sync, right? Mm-hmm. Steph was off the ball. You know, they love to do this. They put Steph off the ball because they know he draws people, mm-hmm. right?
He sure does.
I'm just saying, like, you talk about things we've never seen before. We've literally never seen this. We've never seen a guy not have the ball in his hands draw a double team. Wow. We've never seen it. We have never. Jordan did not get doubled when he didn't have the ball. Like, so, but they were struggling. So Kevin Durant goes to Steph and he's like, you do what you do. Mm-hmm. Right. So when we talk about levels, you want to talk about levels and Steph? This is what Steph can't do. Right. Steph can't say, I'm going to dominate any situation. It don't matter. Kevin Durant can do that. It don't matter the defense. It don't matter. So now we talk about levels. I ain't talking about that final stuff. To me, that's the argument for people who aren't watching the games, right? Because if you watch the games, it's very clear who the best player on the court is. It's the one they're triple teaming. Mm-hmm. So the other NBA defenses and these other NBA minds, right? These other NBA coaches, they've decided who the best player is. But everybody else is like, nah, bruh. They're saying we can't win this game unless we shut this dude down. But everybody else is saying, man, he ain't even that good. Yeah. It was Andre Iguodala. Like, come on, right? But KD was able to say, Steph, you do you. I'm going to be good. I'll play my game. I'll play off of you. Man, bruh, I mean, just think about how good you got to be to say that. Mm. You do you. I know we're trying to figure out
how we're going to mesh these stars. But if you play your way, I could play this way and be just as good. Right. Like, that's how crazy. How many times that happened? Like Magic was like, hey, man, Byron Scott, I see you struggling. How about you do you? And you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's how good he is. And then he learned how to play. Kevin Durant was averaging like 25 points on 57% shooting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's insane because he learned another way to play basketball, right? Mm-hmm. He learned, it was like, you know how like you go to school, you got this tip, right? You'd be like, yo, I'm gonna go back to school and learn this other part, right? Mm-hmm. The technology has gotten better, so I'm going to go to school and figure out how to learn. This is what Kevin Durant was doing. All right, I'm going to go. I got this part. I want to add another part to my game. And now it's like – and now he's insane. Yeah. Like, we're seeing what he's doing on an Achilles. Like, you cannot guard this dude. Nope. He was already at elite school. He's already an all-time great scorer, mm-hmm. already. And then he learned how to play off the ball, which I think is one of the things a lot of players don't know how to do. They just don't know how to play off the ball. They want the ball in their hands. James Harden is one of those guys. With the ball in his hands, you can't guard him. Mm-hmm. Take the ball out of his hands.
Different story, huh?
Right. But yeah, so, and KD hella cool, man. I think that's another thing people miss. Like, I know he gets like a, you know, he's kind of controversial, right? And he gets into it with people. Man, KD hella cool. Mm-hmm. KD, like, you could have a conversation with him. You know what I'm saying? And people, I don't think people understand like how difficult that is. Like, I don't know LeBron very well.
Right.
But I can't just walk up to LeBron and have a conversation with him. Like, mm-hmm. that's LeBron James.
Right.
People who know LeBron, you know, say he's great. I don't know him very well. The first day I met Kevin Durant, I walked up to him, like, just straight up, and we had a conversation. Right. And just as somebody in my seat, you just don't get to walk up to a dude and it's cool.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, it's the first one is, who's you? You know right. what I'm saying? They add, they give you the coin. Second one, then they got to see, oh, you cool. All right, I'll talk to you. First time I walked up to Kevin Durant, we chopping it up. Like, just off, he didn't know who I was. He didn't know nothing. I was just a dude walking up to him. And he was cool. I was like, yo, this dude.
That's cool.
Like, he's cool, man.
That's cool. In fact, that's what I want to ask you about these books, man. Because these are your books. They're not joint projects. You wrote these.
Facts.
So how does that come about? Do you just walk in the locker room and say, yo, I'm writing a book about you. Hope you like it.
I mean, basically, somebody come to me and say, hey, man, we want to pay you to write these books.
Right.
And then for both of them, I was like, yo, there's an opportunity for us to do a joint project. Right.
For both of the players.
So like, yeah. So Steph's book, it was like, hey, obviously the publisher would love a book from Steph Curry. Right. Yes. With me writing it. Or love a book from Kevin Durant with me writing it, right? Mm-hmm. So neither one of them wanted to do that route. Neither one of them wanted to do a book. They both was like, I ain't doing no book right now.
Right. Right.
So that's why it's what we call a quote-unquote unauthorized biography, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, there's 15 books on each of them, right? If you go yes. to Amazon, type in Kevin Durant book, there's hella books mm-hmm. on Kevin Durant. I just go up to him and be like, hey, man, this publisher wants me to write this book. So they both are like, yeah, do it. You know, mm-hmm. that's great. Like, it's great for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Do they help with the research? They point you in the right direction?
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, no. They answer my questions if I ask them. But, you know, they're not. They're like, I'm not. It's your book. Yeah, you know, I'm just writing a book like somebody writing a book.
Have they read it? Can you confirm that they've read them?
And they read it. They read it. They read a whole book. Yeah. Yeah, they read it. They for sure read it. Yeah. I was talking to KD in the finals, in the Toronto finals, and I was like, "Dang, man, you not gonna read my book?" He was like, "I ain't finished, man. Chill." You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But yeah, I'm sure they read it. I know they read it.
That's
even dope. If they might be too cool to say.
To say so, I'm sure. I had one more question I want to ask you. The other day, Draymond was critical of the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that sat down one of their players because they were considering trading him. So they didn't want to risk injury. And it brought me back to some comments Draymond had a few years ago when he said, we should stop calling owners owners. And looking at those two things, him being critical of the Cavs and changing the name of owner, I thought to myself, like, if a player is unhappy with the power dynamic, they need to take it to the negotiating table, right? Or exercise their leverage. Like, So I'm at, like, what does he look to gain by just kind of stating the obvious? Yeah, the power dynamic is messed up, but you got to do something. So what does he gain by just stating the obvious?
Well, part of it is like you got to know what his intentions are. None of us know that. So
okay.
What if he's what if he's just trying to audition for Inside the NBA after his career? You know what
Fair
I'm saying?
Fair enough.
Then he's got a he got something to gain just by being vocal. I think Draymond likes to pride himself on saying stuff that other people won't say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So generally speaking, I think he's just pointing out it was weird in that situation because I think his issue wasn't necessarily with the league. It was with how we talk about this stuff.
Okay.
Like obviously it's bargained, right? Like it's collectively bargained.
Yes.
So but he's saying essentially James Harden got killed for the same thing.
For requesting a trade.
Right. Mm-hmm. So who's doing the killing? Like he's talking about how we talk about it, right? He's talking about how we view it. And he's pointing out, listen, man, when James Harden is at little baby's party in Atlanta instead of at camp because he don't want to play there no more, mm-hmm. he's everything wrong with basketball. Meanwhile, the Cavs do this and nobody has anything to say. So I think even if he meant to or not, his challenge is to how we talk about this stuff and how we view what's happening and how quick we are to just basically label athletes and once they step outside the box and not see them as business, as making business moves, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, we thought James Harden was being selfish and, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When in the end, it was actually a pretty savvy business move.
Yeah.
Right. The dude is on the Nets and probably might win the finals finally because of this. Right. So, and the hindsight is like, I mean,
right.
It probably wasn't how people like their athletes to be. Mm-hmm. But if you're James Harden and you're trying to figure out, I need to get out of here and I want to go get to Brooklyn, in his mind, it worked. So I think Draymond is just saying, the same level of understanding that, you know, is in this situation with these teams, maybe you should apply it to the players. That's me, like, crafting the best possible argument for what Draymond was saying, right?
That's fair.
First off, I think he got a problem with it being Andrew Drummond is his, like, sympathy case. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, bro, that dude making almost $30 million. Yeah. Like, calm down. Yeah. All of us want to get paid to sit down, right? Yeah. Like, hold on. The question is, do I still get my check?
Yeah.
If I still get my check, then we all good, right? Yeah. What is we talking about? So, but I don't know. He, you know, I imagine at some point, if he's thinking, like, seven steps ahead, which Draymond tends to do, it's actually a great way to bargain, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that the NBA, David Stern was really good at, is making a big issue out of little things, right? Mm-hmm. So now when you sit down, if you give those little things away, they feel like big issues, right? Yes. And the whole time, they wanted something else, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, man, right now it's 55-45 on the BRI, right? We want that to be even. So I'm going to play up age limits. I'm going to play up dress codes. I'm going to play up this stuff. I'm going to make it a big issue. So now when we sit down, we'll be like, yo, I'll give you all that if you make it 50-50. Yeah. And it feels like a win. So if he was playing seven steps ahead, maybe these are things they could make a big issue. Yes. So now when you sit down for the next CBA, you got some things that are issues, that are real issues, where before they wasn't nothing. Before, yes. If you demanded them, it wouldn't have cost you anything, right? So I don't know if that's what he's doing at all. I think this was about,
what's that?
He got fined for bringing up Devin Booker's situation on Inside the NBA. He said Devin Booker needs to get out of Phoenix. They fined him because he's not allowed to talk about other transactions and all that.
Right.
And then the NBA gets away with doing that. So I think that's what it was about. Like, y'all fined me. Yeah. For giving my opinion. Meanwhile, they doing this in the open, right? Right? So I think that was what it was about, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yo, Marcus, I think you just schooled me for 50 minutes.
How so?
That's what you do, huh?
No,
that was great, man. That was great.
We just be talking, man.
That's
we just
it.
Have a conversation. We
That's
a
it. Again, Marcus Thompson, man. Two great books. Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, and KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. Marcus, what's the next project?
Oh, man. You know, if I tell you, I got to kill you.
That's it. That's it, man. Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, I'm at Thompson Scribe on everything. At Thompson Scribe. Can I ask you a question before you go?
Go for it, brother.
Let's just go post-Kobe. Give me your five. Give me your all-NBA over the last, what? Kobe was 2014 when he's 2015. Mm-hmm. So from 2015 to now, give me your five all-NBA.
2015? Okay.
Yes, from 2015 to now.
Yeah. LeBron, KD. Who we got at the two? Who we got at the two? Is it Clay?
It's your five.
I ain't good with the dates, man. It's all melted together. So I got LeBron, KD. I'm going to go Clay. I guess I got to go Steph.
You don't have to.
I'll mess with you.
Have to.
Nah, it's Steph. And I'm missing one. Is it Kawhi? I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but that's what I got.
I mean, you don't have a traditional center, but,
right,
you know.
Right.
You don't have to be traditional.
Right. How about yours?
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I want the Steph Clay backcourt. Yeah. Bron, KD. Yeah, man. I guess I'm just biting your whole style because it's got to be Kawhi. Right. Hey, who guarding that team though?
Nobody. Nobody.
Who playing center? KD.
Yeah.
Do we need centers anymore?
They don't.
I mean, you know who I might go? I might drop Clay and put Anthony Davis in. Not that I think. You know, I don't know. Clay might be more valuable, but, man, I need some rim protection when I'm drafting the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I just you know, it's easy to do that for a year, right? We go look at who's playing. We ain't put Giannis in there? Ooh.
Not yet.
Yeah, you're not yet. It's easy to do it for a year. I just be wondering, like, give me a span of 5 years. What would you say? Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I know you know hoops, so I was just interested in what you would say.
I'm
shocked you to put Kyrie in, though.
Nah.
Come on, man. Kyrie with all that defense around him, he's incredible. Yo. I would, hey, if you said LeBron, KD, Clay, and Kawhi,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
they could be interchangeable. Kyrie would be, yeah.
He covered, like, even if he don't play D, he covered, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that would be a situation where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I need a dude to kind of get a bucket.
For sure.
But yeah, there's no question. I'd rather Steph, but I mean, look, Kyrie's a monster, dude. You're not gonna get me to. Kyrie is a monster. Yeah. Like, that dude is unguardable. Period.
That was a great explanation, brother. Yo, Marcus Thompson, brother, forever in debt, man. This is greatly appreciated.
Absolutely, man. When my next book come out, you're going to have me on again.
Easy. Too easy.
That's my only fee.
That's it. All right, man.